May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. We need to talk. Y'all a little bit nervous? Those four words are almost guaranteed to make a person nervous. We know that what follows that statement will be something that we don't want to talk about. As a matter of fact, those words are usually spoken because everyone in the room has worked really hard at not talking about whatever it is that we need to talk about. That being said, we need to talk. We need to talk about some ideas that make people nervous, often because our experience with these theological categories that we're going to discuss has been downright toxic. We need to talk about apocalypse. We need to talk about judgment. We need to talk about sin. We need to talk about these three things today because they are major components of the world of the parable that Jesus puts before the crowd and then explains to his disciples. Now, I'm going to tell you right now that preaching about apocalypse, judgment, and sin in one sermon is kind of like sitting down to eat a 12-ounce sirloin with a baked potato, a couple of trips to the salad bar, and cheesecake for dessert in 15 minutes. But we're going to try, and hopefully we won't get indigestion. We're going to begin with apocalypse. Apocalypse is all over this interpretation that Jesus offers when the disciples ask him to explain this confusing parable of tolerating bad seed to grow up amongst the good seed. Now, we have this idea that apocalypse means being raptured up to heaven if we're good and being left behind to endure the ultimate battle between God and Satan if we're not. Now, this notion of rapture and tribulation is based on a sketchy interpretation of parts of the book of Daniel and, of course, the book of Revelation. I've just about decided that I'm going to do some serious teaching about this heretical notion of rapture and tribulation early in 2018, so y'all stay tuned for that. But in the meanwhile, back to my point. Apocalypse is literally revelation. And in the literature of Scripture, apocalypse is a genre that has a particular set of characteristics and it serves a particular function. Apocalypse features cosmic events, usually involving travel from heaven to earth, and there are generally fantastical creatures like angels and strange beasts. Apocalypse in the Bible is a message of consolation and hope for the oppressed, believe it or not. It's a vision of God's final judgment on the whole creation, which will establish God's everlasting kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. In our reading from the letter to the Romans, Paul tells us today that the whole creation is groaning, waiting like a woman in labor for the birth of this kingdom, in which the whole world will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Paul is talking about what happens in judgment here, God's judgment. So yeah, we need to talk. We need to talk about judgment with a capital J. Judgment is a major theme in Matthew's gospel, mostly because it's a major theme in the Bible. And judgment is one of those things that people mention when they talk about what they don't like in the Bible, particularly the Old Testament. There's so much judgment there. So we need to talk about what judgment is and isn't in the Bible. I thought we'd start by looking at the book of Judges. Now, that's a book that many of us just don't know very well. It seems to be all about war and violence, so we kind of shy away from it, I think. But if you look underneath that surface activity, what you find is something very intriguing about judges and judgment. These judges, as they're called, don't pronounce verdicts of guilt or innocence. They don't set out to punish the people of Israel, who are, after all, the protagonists in this story. What the judges do is they are champions of the people of Israel. They go after the oppressors of the people. Judgment is about sorting out right from wrong. And right is following God's law of justice and equity. It's about fighting oppression. Wrong is just doing the opposite of that. In this narrative, the judges are sorting out what supports the health, the shalom of the people of Israel, from what undermines that health, that shalom, that unity. And I'll give you three guesses. What is the primary undermining factor of unity? Sin. So, we need to talk about sin. And Lordy, we don't want to talk about sin, do we? The original sin of humanity in the garden was eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, disobedience was one aspect of that sin. But perhaps of far greater consequence was the attempt to do God's work, judging good and evil, which is really the only reason that you need to know the difference between the two. You don't need knowledge of good and evil except to judge, to do God's work. And that consequence of trying to be God is separation from God, which leads to death. And that is probably the classic definition of sin. Separation from God. Now, the parable of the weeds that we have this morning shows us that we're still tempted to do God's work of judgment. Basically, we're told, leave the good seed and the bad seed to grow together until the harvest. Leave it. Just let it be. That word, leave it, let it, aphemi, has a secondary meaning of forgiveness. In the early church, the present tense of that verb would have been prayed just as regularly as it is now. Forgive us our sins as we forgive, let be those who sin against us. There's an active aspect to forgiveness that is more acceptable to us, perhaps, than the just passive letting evil continue, letting the bad seed grow up. Think about that. Forgive. Forgive what is the children of evil. Forgive and abide, waiting until God sets all creation free. What you will not find in this parable are the criteria by which God does God's judging. at the harvest, there's not one word about what differentiates good from evil, the children of the kingdom from the children of the evil one. Now, I've spent considerable time this morning presenting to you some big ideas that we find in Matthew's gospel, mostly because we're going to be hearing them again. And we need to keep these ideas in mind as we continue in the Gospel of Matthew through the rest of the summer and into the fall. We will hear more parables that describe the kingdom of heaven in images of apocalypse, judgment, and sin. And I hope when you hear those parables, you'll put aside our kind of default notions about what those theological categories mean. In some of those parables, we will hear the criteria by which God judges at the end of the ages. Most specifically, in the last reading that we'll have in Matthew's Gospel, on the Sunday of Christ the King in November, the last Sunday of this liturgical year, then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." So we will move from this parable today, in which there's no instruction other than to leave judgment in God's hands and to forgive those who sin against us. So we move from that place to hearing very clear criteria for the judgment on that last Sunday of this liturgical year. Clearly, we can say, let God sort it out. Don't be concerned with figuring out who's righteous and who isn't. Don't be concerned with figuring out who's deserving and who isn't. Instead, be concerned with who has food and who doesn't. Be concerned with who has shelter and who doesn't. Be concerned with who has access to healing and who doesn't. Be concerned with who gets justice in our courts and who doesn't. Because although we don't get a clear indication in this parable of what God considers to be the work of the enemy, it is very clear by the time we get to the end of the gospel. When we don't take care of the least of God's children, there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let those with ears to hear listen.